Welcome to Brothers King Media, where we view heaven through the lens of art. My name is Samuel.
And I'm Solly.
And today we have a special guest.
Thomas.
And we're really happy to have you, Thomas.
It's good to have you here, Thanks. Buddy.
It's good to be here.
So today we're going to go ahead and continue our discourse through the discography of the David Crowder Band. I just also want to see how many times I can say D in one sentence.
Today we're reviewing Sunsets and Sushi.
Yes.
Is it a live EP?
It's not a live.
It's not live?
This one isn't.
Okay. Okay, it's an EP though.
Yes, it's an EP. Technically, it's their first proper EP, as Lime CD is technically a live album.
Okay.
Technically speaking. So, this is their first proper EP. Fittingly enough, a remix album. And also, on that note, I'm sure Sunsets and Sushi actually has a meaning. They did write a book, Finding God in Sunsets and Sushi. I haven't read it yet. I think we should read it and review it probably sometime.
I might read a book for you.
That's very courageous of you.
Hint the mic. I've been out of school for a while. I don't know if
I think I'm counting you to read it, Thomas, huh?
I'll read it.
Okay. Then at least if Solomon's not here, we can do it by ourselves. Okay. It's all good.
I like reading.
So let's go ahead and just jump right in, as we always do. And last week we talked about the artwork. The artwork for this album, I wish I had it just put it away in storage, actually, because I'm moving some stuff around my house. But the artwork in this, it's just it's a very nice picture of some sushi. Nothing too engaging, I suppose.
Hmm? Is that sushi? Are you sure that's sushi?
I think it's wasabi inside a sushi tray.
Yes, with some chopsticks.
With some chopsticks.
Doesn't look like the sushi's came to the table yet.
So, I do, I have this physical album at home. Like I said, I just put it away in storage.
Oh, wait.
So.
Wait, all right. I have just closed up on this. And somehow, that is the sushi. Wow, why do these look different?
Well, there is actually alternate covers. Like, you can find different places where it's, like, the same picture from a different view.
Huh. Well, my cover has sushi on it.
I don't know. I don't know if it was, like, released or released twice or what.
Re-released.
So, re-released. I don't know.
Re-released.
Inside the album cover, I wish I had just packed away my physical CD. All the credits and stuff are written in Japanese. And there's a link there that says readme.com or something. Or no, whatdoisay.com. However, the link's no good. Just like, really, if you look through any of the Crowder Band notes, there's links everywhere because they have a fun habit of... They're really probably one of the first Christian bands, definitely, to use the internet to their advantage, I feel like.
Right.
And do some fun things with it. So they had lots of links, and they're all dead now.
Now, since we're speaking of artwork and, you know, screen, what do they mean at the bottom? And does this possibly have anything to do with the sunsets and sushi idea? But at the bottom it says, experiments in spectral deconstruction.
So the idea is the sound spectrum, right?
Right.
And they're deconstructing the sound spectrum of their own album.
Okay.
Because these are all remixes from Illuminate.
Ah, okay. Well,
I mean, did you expect these guys not to give a really smart-sounding phrase?
Now, I have no idea. See, now you've got me stuck on the meaning of the sunsets and sushi. Since it's a remix, does that mean that isn't sushi like, you know, a remix of just a bunch of different boiled foods?
Technically speaking, sushi is finger food, and it can be any variation of different – it's usually Asian in origins.
Right.
It can have raw fish. It can also just have rice in it. It can have – a lot of them have cream cheese, which are my personal favorites.
So you would say that a lot of them are kind of experimental?
For the Western audience. For
okay.
us, they're experimental. I see where you're trying to go here. I guess you can try and deconstruct the name, per se, if you so wish.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm trying to do, because that's really bothering me now. Okay, anyway, just go ahead.
Maybe when we read the book someday.
We'll have to read the book someday, and then we'll try to tag that link to this podcast if we ever get there.
So,
and maybe a year from now.
We should try and do the book before we get done with the David Crowder Band, honestly.
Okay, yeah.
So we'll have to go find it somewhere.
Yeah.
I'll have to order off of Amazon for $16.
If anything, I've got contacts. I've got connections. You know my connections, but this person doesn't. Well, Thomas doesn't, and our audience of one doesn't either.
So. Audience of one. That's a Big Daddy Weave song. I was thinking Chris Thomas.
In my audience of one.
Okay.
Okay, sorry.
So.
You my father. Okay.
Take me back to my youth group days.
Yeah.
Back when I was a young lad.
That was like the first youth service I was ever in. Richard sang that.
Did he?
Yeah.
Are you sure it was a Mario?
My first. It might have been Mario. I don't remember, but it was my first youth service.
Yeah, that would have been Mario.
My first youth service? I've only been in the youth group 5 years.
Well, now
I've been in my youth group for 5 years.
How old do you feel?
6, almost 7, actually.
Solomon is letting the...
My age is catching up with me.
He's letting the... What's it called? The word I'm looking for. It's... The crisis of a reality crashing upon you.
Reality, yeah.
It's an early midlife crisis.
It's a... I don't even know. Guys, I don't think I can finish the show.
It's an EMC. Early midlife.
So, let's just go ahead and get back to the matter of the gravy.
I belong in the Medicare lounge. Okay, go ahead. Sorry. I'm just going to be, like, freaking out now.
Whew. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into some of the credits. And my original assumption before I looked at the credits was this was a mainly Crowder Band effort.
Right.
I figured they did all the deconstruction, but looking through this, there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people that did remixes on this album.
Wow.
And I looked a few of the names up, and they're names that don't honestly mean a whole lot to me. We got Josiah Chucks Bell. We got...
Who did what to Chucks Bell?
Matt Erickson, Robert Hawkins, Jay Joyce, Dave Laring. And I looked all these names up, and they all... just work in the Christian music industry. They all do engineering and such for other artists, like Rebecca St. James, Chris Tomlin, etc. Just any name Christian band, they've probably been involved in some way.
Right.
So I found that interesting that it wasn't the traditional remix artist. So usually, Thomas, you are pretty familiar with remix albums, I take it, right?
Fairly.
So, especially in Christian music, usually if it's a remix album, they pull guys like Solomon Olds from Family Force 5. Or, what's another guy who probably remixes stuff? I would probably say like the guy who always remixes for Toby Mac, Saibo.
Yes.
I can't think of his name.
I didn't get it.
But regardless, there's like a set of remixers, and these aren't the guys you imagine remixing stuff. So that's an interesting choice, if nothing else. And we have our favorite executive.
Oh, they remixed the remixers. Holy snot, these guys are brilliant.
I don't know if that was intentional or not, but we'll roll with it.
The joke was. So thanks for laughing.
Our favorite executive producer returns, Louis Giglio.
Louis Giglio. Giglio.
So I think he's just the executive producer on all their albums, I'm getting the feeling.
Pretty much. If you're on Six Step Records, I'm pretty sure he is.
I think what it is like he just, as part of his, since he owns Six Step Records, he's like, my name just goes on all the albums.
So
I'm the executive producer
on
all of them.
I get money from them all.
Yes, that's his.
Which, hey, that's fair. If he started it and he's got all those artists on there.
Maybe it's like he's the executive producer in the sense they're like, Mr. Giglio, sir, can we please have this album? Yes, I give you bidding to make this album.
But put my name on it.
Yes, that's how he's the executive producer of them all.
It reminded me of like the Oliver Twist. May we have more?
Yes.
That's kind of weird.
More, sir. So, and then there's actually a second executive producer. I can find him. Brad O'Donnell. His name does sound
Brad
slightly...
Brad O'Donnell.
He does sound slightly familiar.
Well, he also produced part of the last record.
Did he?
Yeah.
Is that where we saw his name before?
Right.
Cool. So they have returning producers. Maybe it could also be that they have to credit both people who did it last time and this album to be fair to them on what they did and didn't. Since the songs are pulled from everything. Let's see, Brad O'Donnell does... He does passion projects. He was the A&R guy for NF's Perception.
Oh.
So, and Thomas is a big fan. So he's the A&R guy.
Gotta love NF.
He loved himself some NF.
So he's the A&R guy, which for those that don't know, in the record industry, the A&R guy is the guy that goes and finds talent.
Right.
He goes and discovers new acts, basically, and promotes acts and... That's kind of his jig. So I'm assuming he's probably the A&R guy for Sparrow Records.
Probably.
Chances being.
Is NF on Sparrow Records?
Well, he's probably some subsidiary. I mean, all record labels, at least...
NF has his own record label, I heard.
Well, all record labels, as of right now, at least like that, like send out the records to the stores and stuff, all come from three record labels. Sony... Darn, I can't remember the other ones now. BMG, I want to say, and
Sony BMG
and WB Records.
WB Records. In
those
the
are
house.
Those are the three big record. They're the only record labels. Every other record label, unless they're independent, every other record label is a subsidiary of one of those record labels.
Even Capitol.
Capitol is a subsidiary of BMG.
You sure?
I could be wrong. I can't remember.
BMG. NF used to be part of Capitol.
So, they're all subsidiaries. Like, there's only a few record labels that are truly independent. Like, Tooth and Nail Records is completely independent. They're not part of those. But they're also not as big because they don't have as much money.
Now, I don't remember. We're talking record labels, and this is just, you know, this is off subject a little bit. We'll get back on subject. But that's the point of this podcast, is just to conversate. Anyway... So remember when we were at when we went to meet you and our buddy Pocheco?
Sure.
And we went to Guitar Center and
okay.
We were playing our song
that
we had written.
That.
Yeah, you of course. Thomas wasn't with us. This is before his day. But
it was like 2 years ago.
But anyway, that one guy who was playing our song, we realized he was playing our song with us after we got done, and our brother-in-law was videotaping it, and we were all like, you know, get him in the video. Anyway, he told me, we had conversated a little bit afterwards, and he told me that he was working with a group, and I don't know if it's true or not. He didn't have the following on his, you know, Instagram pages or social media in general. But he said that he was working with a band who actually had a deal with Sony Records, which I didn't know how much of that I believed. But anyway, that and just, you know, we were talking Sony and BMV and all them, and it reminded me of that. So
well,
anyway, cool story. Fun story.
There you go. So that's kind of the production credits. I mean, there's other remixers, but the difference is, as opposed to most remix records, we don't know who remixed what. We're at a bit of a loss. We just know all these people had some play in it. Benji Peck was the art director. Wasn't he the art director for the last one, too. Well, coincidentally enough, this has like the light bulb hanging in the back of the album cover.
I wonder if it's the same light bulb.
Probably. They tinted it lime this time. So that's the artwork, the production, not too much. I mean, obviously the Crowder Band still had a hand in it, I believe. But I don't know how much of this they actually did and how much they just handed off to their record label and said, here, have at it.
Right.
I don't know. So let's get into the tracks themselves. So let me pull up the track listing here. I do apologize. Solomon had it picked up, and now he's, you know, texting and just threw off my groove.
Sorry, important things happening right now.
Obviously. So, first off...
Plus, my phone's pretty much dead. 7%. Anyway, first, the first song we have on here is the very...
Appropriately.
Appropriately. No One Like You.
And what's the remix called?
It has Thanksgiving Mix.
The Thanksgiving Mix. And this is probably my favorite remix on the album, quite honestly. So, one of the reasons I pulled you in here, Thomas, is you haven't really listened to a whole lot of the David Crowder Band. You've heard their songs on the radio, but probably have you listened to them any more than that?
Besides on the radio and besides listening to this album, no, not really.
So I figured it'd be interesting to get an outsider's perspective on what these songs sound like to someone who's never even listened to David Crowder Band. So, opening up on this first track, what's your thoughts on this?
I thought it was a very unique beat because you don't hear it a lot, especially with this type of remix,
Well, kind of like I was talking to you earlier, most albums, when they're remix albums, they sound like they're just trying to remix it for the dance floor.
Yeah, it's more for the beat than just, God's like, mixing.
Sorry.
Then mix... Usually they're just trying to give it a new beat rather than giving it a new blend, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt that this song did a really good job of blending, this song in particular, with blending the words and actual beat. Because if you notice, a lot of times when listening to remixes, you often hear that the remixed music, it doesn't blend well at all with the lyrics, because it's just like two totally different things that don't collide well.
I would wholeheartedly agree with that.
Sunsets and Sushi.
Whereas this, I feel like I appreciate this remix album overall, because I feel like at least they put effort into it.
Yeah.
They'd got an F for effort. I mean, A for effort. A for effort.
Okay. I feel like they at least put effort into it, which a lot of remix albums feel like they just hand it off to their producers and say, hey, we're too lazy to make a new album. Can you please remix this song for me so we can
have some rubber? So it's like the lyrics are like real slow stuff. Then over here you hear, dee-da, da-da, dee-da.
Yeah, totally. So this song, Thanksgiving Mix, I feel like it definitely conveys Thanksgiving happiness. It does a very good job. Like I said, it's my favorite.
Reflecting the joy. Wow, so, that sounds like a great name for something.
Something. So, Solomon, what song stood out to you for this album?
Honestly, obviously, No One Like You. It's probably the only song that I really liked off this album. Besides Oh Praise Him. Oh Praise Him I liked. But I don't know, like... I'm not much of a remix kind of guy, and I had to struggle. I struggled. I seriously did. I struggled listening to this remixed album because I like straightforward. Remix just throws me off. It's too, you know, R&B, hip-hop, like that kind of weird. Okay, if you like it, I'm not calling you weird, but I don't like it. So to me, it's weird, and I just didn't like it as much as I liked the Illuminate album.
Oh, I agree. Illuminate, the album, is miles ahead of this one.
So, like, yes, because No One Like You is kind of a... It is supposed to be, you know,
happy song.
A happy sound. That's why I like this one the best, because they made it happen, you know? But... when it starts getting to the songs, I
thought like the low point was Revolutionary Love, Neo Mechanical Mix.
Yeah.
That did not do it for me at all.
No. But that song is mechanical, if you think about it.
Yeah, I mean they
in the album it's mechanical.
Well, not
like,
the
it's
whole
got
album.
Well, not the whole album. I'm talking that song.
Mm-hmm.
It's got that weird wah-oh, wah-oh, like it sounds like robot. kind of. But yeah. I'm just saying maybe they're like, oh, what is, you know, the sound that we did in this, and then how could we remix it to make it that style but remixed? But I just don't feel like they did an amazing job with the remix.
Now,
and I hate saying that because I don't ever want to discredit any artist, because I understand that it's really, really hard to get where you're going. Really hard. But anyway, that's my overall thoughts. No One Like You is probably my favorite because it's supposed to be a dance song, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, honestly, to say anything about any of the other songs and the remix, and I'm not really big into, you know, saying, oh, this remix sounds like this, because I don't listen to remix.
Mm-hmm.
So, to ask me any further questions, to what do you think, you know, Dirty Beats mix or, you know, Ocean mix means? I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
So, Oceanic. Okay, I will give the Oceanic mix kudos. That's a oh, praise him. Because it sounds like they're underwater, at least. That was pretty cool.
I enjoyed that one. I really liked how they remixed that. Thought that was enjoyable.
Now, Thomas, you were telling me earlier, you felt like, well, maybe this was just my personal opinion. I don't know. You said it best, though, so I'll credit you with this. But one of the problems, as far as the music goes in this album, is you could just take any of the lyrics and pit them to a different remix, and you never notice the difference.
Yeah, you could take this entire album, and with most of the remixes and the lyrics, you could mix and match and switch all day, and most of them would sound almost exactly the same.
Would you agree with that statement?
I don't know if they'd all sound exactly the same. I mean, I can't say anything about remix other than what I know. And I just don't like remix, so...
But, well, just, if you pretend you've never
heard...
Well,
I wouldn't say exactly the same, but similar.
I mean, it could get easily mixed up. So, I mean, just pretend you never
Pretend Crowder Band's not singing with it?
No, pretend you've never heard Crowder Band. There's this new techno band on the floor.
I hate Technica.
Techno.
Whatever.
So you wouldn't listen to this at that point?
I don't listen to techno, therefore I would not listen to this. I listen
electronica.
To this. Electronica? I'm sorry, guys. I'm a classic rock guy. Like, I don't do electronics.
I'm a big fan of electronics. I feel like...
And then he turned on his phone.
I'm in heated conversation.
I don't do electronics.
Phone. So, I mean, really, I guess there's not much to talk on each individual song. One thing I will say about this is, among other things, because I hate repeating myself, is it doesn't stick with me as well. I have trouble remembering what song is which.
Yeah, right. That's a problem that I have.
Like, I feel like if an album doesn't stick in your head in any particular order, there's probably an issue.
Yeah.
So.
Yep, and this is one of those albums, honestly. But that's just because I believe it's just because of the remix.
I'll say it depends, because like an example I'll use is the John Mark McMillan album. I can't remember the album title. I think it was Medicine, or it was some sort of medical term. So I was listening to the John Mark McMillan album, and I should like it. It's indie. It's a rock sounding. He has very poetic and deep lyrics. And I've listened to the album 5 times. And to this day, I cannot remember one thing I listened to. None of it sticks in my head. And I'm like, I should love this.
Right.
It's just not that I can't remember anything I heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, whenever there's an album and it's like a remix, it could always be the problem with just the lyrics in general, the way they remixed it, the order they put it in even. Because there was a time, actually, where I was listening to an album. It was a very short one. It only had a few songs. But one day I listened to it, and this could be just me, but it happened. I was listening to it, and I couldn't remember. I could remember, like, one song. I listened to that song first, and then, okay, I just confused everyone. Go ahead.
So, like, you just listened to that song and then just skipped through the rest of the album?
Yeah, pretty much. And then the next time I heard the other songs, and then I heard that song, and I'm like, oh.
This is all part of the same album. I totally forgot.
Yeah, basically.
I get you.
The way I worded it was confusing.
No, I get what you're saying, though. I've done that before. Where I'm listening to now, I'm like, oh, I forgot this song was even on this album. Because
yeah,
I forgot about
right.
this album.
A lot of times, that's how I am with my iPod.
It's like, you know the album exists, but you don't know the song. These songs are in that album.
Yeah.
Right, and that usually happens to me with any Hillsong.
I can agree with that.
Which not because they're not good, but because they have so many songs.
And they all sound alike.
And they all sound alike, and you're like, wait, this is off the United album, not the...
I get Hillsong confused now. I just get...
Like, Hillsong took it... They took community worship, which is the genre I'm going to classify it as because it's, you know,
corporate
more than,
worship,
community
worship.
I could be wrong, but didn't they do
Oceans?
Well,
corporate,
Oceans?
They did do Oceans. That's on the United album. But when I say corporate, you know, corporate worship, yeah, when we're talking our congregation, we're making it corporate. We're making what we're feeling the same as them, but community all feels the same thing.
Yeah.
So when I say community, I mean it's not the same five people every song.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So
okay.
Community worship is like the genre I'm going to classify them under, even though they're contemporary Christian. I'm going to put them under community.
Okay, gotcha. Continue.
But anyway, it's not because their songs aren't good. Maybe as much as it's that they have so many songs that either you like or that sound alike. That it's just, it's hard to place that within an album.
And one of the things, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, I feel like an album should tell a story.
Right.
An album should...
Can't tell you how many times you've told me that.
I don't know if I've said it on this podcast. But an album's purpose, at the end of the day, should be, you know...
It shouldn't be just the random collections of songs that haven't been in an album yet. It's like, oh, this song hasn't been in one of my albums, take that... It should have somewhat story.
It should have a purpose.
It should have a structure.
A structure
should,
and a purpose.
You know, obviously the first song should, you know, build a foundation, and the last song should put the roof on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's
if
why...
If you're just
that's
putting
why,
songs in an album just to make an album, then...
You have a greatest hits album.
See, yeah, that's why... Exactly. That's why I feel like, you know, because in, like, your perfect rock albums, you have... You know, that intro song that's like, you know, just starts right off really loud. You know, either really loud guitar solo, really loud drum solo. But by the middle of it, you're working on the inside structure.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing, you know, really, you know, like Open Arms on, you know, Open Arms by Journey.
Okay.
You're playing that, like, you know, piano ballad kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, it's not really a ballad as much as it's a
power ballad?
No, it's a waltz, kind
okay,
of a gotcha. Waltz. And then by the end of it, you've got like
some sort of resolution.
Yeah, like I'm not sure if Don't Stop Believing is the last one, but that's what I'm saying. Like you open with like Ask the Lonely.
He's just gonna do his perfect Journey album here.
And then the middle of it is you know, Open Arms, and then the very last song is Don't Stop Believing, because that really puts a roof on it. You know what I'm saying?
So like, it's kind of like we was talking about last week with Illuminate. It opens up very strong.
Right.
I love the sparks fly.
Right.
It's a 10-second intro, but it sounds perfect.
Right. But then it goes into the.
And then Stars encapsulate a perfect ending.
Right.
But then, like, those songs right before the ending,
yeah,
you're just
like,
ah, no.
Like, it's like, it's like that terrible paint job that doesn't match your carpet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So.
It's like having, like burgundy and yellow walls with nasty green carpet. Like we had for so long.
So.
Sorry.
He's feeling very passionate about this. So we say all that to say that an album should be a whole product.
It should be a product. It should be a story. It should.
If not
a story, it should sell. A journey. I like that. Anyway, it should, you know, all of these songs, it should be like, you know, your super B complex vitamin. All the minerals inside that capsule need to work for each other.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. And this album, as an album itself, it actually holds up decent as a piece of work. It's I feel like the experiments was it? Experiments in Spectral Deconstruction is the perfect subtitle for it.
Right, because it's perfect destruction.
Like, well, no, they're deconstructing, which means taking apart,
right,
and seeing how you can put this back together.
Right,
and I give it credit for trying to be different with the taking apart, because, like Thomas said earlier, most remix albums tend just to take the lyrics and ignore the rest of it and just slap them on top of some random dance beat.
Exactly.
This, at least, they took some effort and said, okay, how can we deconstruct this song and reconstruct it with different instruments?
How can we make the beat reflect the lyrics?
Yeah. So I give them much kudos for that.
Right. That's my problem. I'm sorry. But I believe that, and this is how I believe in almost everything. This is my politics. This is my religion. This is everything. I believe.
This is my bowl of soup.
Yeah, it's my bowl of soup. If it's not chicken noodles, I'm not going to eat it. Anyway.
No.
But if something, if it's one way, if it's written one way, and I'm not talking production. Like, yeah, production's great. Okay, actually, I should be talking production because remix is a different production of a production.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, if it's produced one way, it should not be reproduced another way. If it's going to be reproduced, it needs to be the same.
Well, like, but they do. So you're saying, well, I mean, we're kind of jumping ahead here. So do you not like any of their remix albums?
Look.
I will save those. Just back up. We'll save those for future
right,
podcasts.
Right. I cannot.
So just know every other week when we do a remix album, because David Crowder Band had a habit of doing album side project. Handful of the side projects were remixes.
Right.
And I think we're gonna get into Solomon just hates all the remixes.
Mm-hmm.
this should be interesting.
It is. It's different. Mm-hmm. It's different.
Now, when it comes to title songs, like like, for instance, Toby Mac Till the Day I Die or something.
Oh, like, you mean like album title songs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you think the title songs would be better at the very beginning or at the end, or does it depend?
It depends on the album. One example I would give for where the title song should be would be House of Heroes, The End Is Not the End. Where they don't technically have a title song, but they do have a title track. Or they have a song that drops the title in the middle of it.
Boom.
And it's right in the middle of the album. And the way the album works, it is perfect to have that in the middle.
That sounds, yeah.
See, now, like, I'm if I was going to do, like, a title drop, then what I would do is, like... Okay, so it sounds weird, and now that, like, I'm thinking of Journey, I'm seriously, like, singing Don't Stop Believing in my head. What I would do is, if I'm going to, like, put, you know, somehow work the title in there, and I know Don't Stop Believing is not the title of their album. I believe that song is on their album called Escape.
Yes.
Great. Now it looks like I just got that from you.
It is what it is.
But I knew that before he was going to say it. Anyway, I'm a real fan. What I would have done is, like, one of my songs, I would have put, like, don't. Like, that would be my song. Or, like, if in that sentence, And since I really don't have song titles right now, and I'm trying to get this one out of my head, if the first song is called Don't Stop Believing, then I'm going to, like, I would bold print the don't in that.
Oh, you're saying do our song title thing we tried to do with the first album?
What did we try to do the first album?
Where every song title made a sentence.
Oh, okay, yeah, I guess.
Next.
I guess, but what I'm trying to say is, like, you know, if I had a 3-song EP and I titled it Don't Stop Believing, the first song would say Don't Stop Believing, but, you know, don't would be, like, in bold.
Yeah.
And then the second one would say Don't Stop Believing, but, you know, stop would be in bold. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that all three of, you know,
I get where you're going.
But I'm not saying all three of these are going to be the same song. I'm saying they'd all be different songs, but that one particular word in there.
And now we know
and
how
now
Solomon.
We know how Solomon would do his stuff. That's why you are the configurator of our brilliance. And I just write music.
So, that's neither here nor there. So, it's a try and come back to the matter of the gravy. I thought this was going to be a really short podcast, but we're 36 minutes in.
I'm enjoying it.
I'm enjoying it. Don't get me wrong.
It's a blast, guys.
And may I just say, I feel very smart.
Yeah, I'm on the podcast.
We are full of fun facts.
You guys are full of fun facts. I just literally sit here and see
you're
what
the
I
comedy
can
relief.
Mirror. Oh, yes! Someone appreciates me!
All right.
You're like Spider-Man or Chris Pratt in Guardians of the... I mean, not Chris, but Avengers.
He is not Chris
War.
Pratt, no.
No, no, no. I was saying, like, defective Chris Pratt.
I'll take it. Chris Pratt is Chris Pratt at any rate. He's an actor. He can be whoever he wants to be.
Okay.
Chris Pratt would probably do that. I could see him doing that.
Alright. So let's come back to the matter of the gravy. So I guess at this point, because there's not too much more to talk about. We just got sidetracked talking about Solomon's perfect dream album someday.
It's a journey, bro. It's a journey.
It's a journey. Life's a journey. So let's go ahead and do our traditional rating of the album at this point. I better rate this extra high since Solomon's going to... We always do meet in the middle.
Wait, no, because we have him over here.
Dude, how do we divide by 3? That's hard math.
9 divided by 3 is 12?
It's summer, I'm not doing
9 divided by 3 is 3, buddy.
Oh.
I hope you know that.
9 plus 3
I knew
is
that.
12, though.
Yes. Okay, so
it's been a while.
On this album, I'm going to go ahead 3 potential points for lyrics. The lyrics, other than like the Thanksgiving mix, really adding to No One Like You, none of the other songs stick out to me in their remix titles. Let's see, we have Oceanic Remix, Dirty Beats Remix.
Well, that counts with music.
Yes, well, stick with me. Neo Mechanical Mix, Direct from the Satellite City, Pneumatic Mix, Andromic Mix, and From the Mount Wilson Observatory.
Mm-hmm.
So, I say all that to say, none of the titles really add to the lyrics, and the lyrics are nothing new because they've all just been pulled from another album. Like, so I would have given it more lyric points if maybe the music would have added to the lyrics. Like, I'll get into way down the track. I will point out one remix. It's for their song, Let Me Feel Your Shine. Their radio remix actually adds... No, take that back. It's the radio remix for SMS Shine.
Okay.
A Shine song, right?
Yeah.
It's the radio remix for SMS Shine actually adds to the lyrics. But I'll get into that later. So... only a 1 for lyrics. I will give it a 2 for music. I really like the experimental elements. And I know we try to only compare it to their current what they've currently done as far as music. But this is a great, if you will, peep into the future for what they were eventually going to do with church music. And you can kind of see the bits of what they was going to do, like the, I'm trying to think of the right word, like the seeds sown here.
Okay, yeah.
And then as for how well the album holds up against their Horn Harp piece, I love it just as an experimental piece. I'm very big into experimental music.
Yeah.
I love
He loves experimental music.
I do like me some experimental music.
That's what clashes between us.
So, unique. I mean, you know, I will actually listen to an Oval album,
right?
Which you've never heard of them
what
for
the
good
heck
reason.
Is Oval?
They're,
okay, we don't need to know.
Just
that's
know.
Off subject. We don't need to go off subject again.
I want to hear it from you
again. I said again.
So you get all the off topic, but I get none.
No, it's not the point. When you get off topic, I get confuzzled.
The effective Chris.
So, I say all that to say the album holds up as a experimental piece. I wish they would have had more hands on it. I think it would have sounded much better if it would have been the David Crowder band and no one else remixing it.
Right.
That would have sounded really cool. But being the people who made it, they probably couldn't get how they originally made it out of their heads enough to try and deconstruct it.
Right.
So that gives it a total of 5 out of potential 9.
All right. Okay, so obviously, for certain reasons, such as I hate remix, I'm going to give the music a 1, all right?
Okay, since you dislike electronica.
I dislike electronica. I'm not going to give it a 0 because at least there's music.
Yes. It would have been interesting.
It would have been interesting if they would have just made an a cappella album.
That would have been kind of cool.
I would have actually liked
that
because that would have been great. I feel like that would have actually been great.
I could hear them doing like a Beach Boys thing.
Beach Boys thing. Yeah, dude, I could totally see that, but that's kind of actually more of a Jarja Clay thing.
Yeah.
But anyway...
Now, just on a side, I'm going to distract you for a second. If you could listen to any of their albums, if you could see any of their albums being remixed, would you accept any Crowder Band album remixed? Or do you think they're all just such perfection on their own?
All of them such perfection on their own?
Like, for instance, if I could remix one of their albums, I would say take Can You Hear Us and not remix it electronically, but remix it like their style of their later albums.
Okay, well, if we're talking that kind of like, if we're talking like, that actually deals with the production.
Okay.
Because a lot of the way your song is played, like how you play your song, like I know we write our music, when we write our music, I'm pretty much using the same 4 to 6 chords.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get into a studio and you start getting a producer ear on it, they're musicians, but not in the same way we are. They will take what our idea is, and they'll perfect it. So therefore, I might just want it to be like dum 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 dum, but they're gonna be like dum 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 dum. So they make it different. So if we were talking production, yes, we're talking on this album though. We're talking electronic.
Okay.
And
well, not all remixes electronic.
But. I know not all remixes electronic, but I'm talking electronic remix is not for me. Absolutely not.
Okay, so
I don't
on the
like
music.
It. It's too digital. It's too digital for me. And obviously, loving classic rock, classical is okay, but classic rock is awesome. Okay, analog. That's where it's at, man. Analog sound, not digital, computerized. No.
So okay, one on the music. What about the?
Okay, on the obviously, since all the words are the same. The reason why anything in it wouldn't be the same is because they mixed it to where one of the words might extend for 5 measures or whatever.
Yeah.
But I gave it a 2 last time, didn't I? I gave it a 2 on the last album, so I'm gonna give it a 2.
Okay.
And then in a general, as it holds up, is a 0.
Oh,
I'm sorry,
okay.
Because it doesn't. It doesn't hold up.
So he's giving it a 3. That is low, low.
I did give it a 3, so.
Okay.
And I'm not ashamed to say that. This does not take away anything. This doesn't take any of my respect for the Crowder Band at all. Okay? I'll be the first to tell them to their face, hey, your remix album got
this
a 3 from me. This one particularly, I don't like it.
That's lower than any of their
other
albums.
I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Because guys, like, if you think about it, when their first production came out of these songs, those held to it. Okay, that's what it's supposed to sound like to them. So therefore, that's what holds
okay.
to me. For me, and since they took that and they twisted knobs and did things to it that shouldn't have been done, it doesn't hold up for me.
Okay.
So I'm going to give it a 3. That's it.
Okay,
that's a 3.
Thomas?
I'm sorry to be Simon Cole.
So, number one is lyrics, correct?
Sure. Right.
Yeah.
Just go
The lyrics were okay.
Yeah, because you've never heard a Crowder Band album, so you get to judge the lyrics on their own. So
on their own. The lyrics were okay. They weren't great. I mean, they weren't awful,
yeah,
in my opinion. I enjoyed how they did try and be a little unique. So for lyrics, I'm going to give a 1.5. Can I do that?
Yeah, that's fine. 1.5,
okay.
Okay.
I give that 1.5. The next, what's the next?
Music.
The music, as in like the remix music.
Or just music overall. What'd you think of this music?
Same for the lyrics. It was good. It wasn't great, in my opinion. But it wasn't awful.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So I'm going to give that a 2. And then overall, it was... I mean, it's not my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's okay.
So, what's your take on
like
that?
Like, a half a star or a
I'm
star?
I'm
going to
say
or a point,
that I'm going to give Final a 2.
The whole entire album is...
No, not as... No, like...
How it holds up?
Yeah.
So as it holds up as a 2, that's pretty high. I mean,
that's pretty high.
Yeah.
For,
so
you know,
1.5
plus 2.
So
plus 2.
So far we have 13.5, and what we're gonna have to do is
divide that by 3.
We gotta divide that by 27. 27 divided by 13.5.
Well, no, that's gonna make a percentage. We always just divide the album in half, divide it by 2. So we're just dividing it by 3. So 13.3
or 35.
Okay, divided by 3.
4.5 star review out of 9.
4.5 out of 9. That's could be worse.
I just made myself look like a total idiot. Which is cool because I'm pretty much jam. I'm the blonde guy of the group. I'm not afraid to say it.
So, and this this went longer than I was expecting, but, you know, it's all good. So, 4.5. We should start writing these down, Solomon, so we can remember which ones are which.
Right. We do need to start writing them down, but I believe that this actually tied... Your points helped.
Yes,
a lot, drastically, because if not, what, you give them a 5 and I gave them a 2?
Yeah.
3, something like that, it would have gotten a 4. And actually, yours didn't help that much. Drastically means...
So you tell
on,
me it helps
on,
a lot.
Hold on, listen, actually...
It helps
no,
a
listen,
lot,
listen,
but
here.
Now it doesn't.
Listen, you get, because without that, somehow, without his... We would have given it a 4.
Okay, there you go.
So yours drastically changed it to a 4.5. Somehow the math works. You would have to ask this guy. I'm pointing to my right, which is Samuel. I don't know. Thomas over here is probably really smart at math too. But I'm
actually,
not.
I'm awful.
I know nothing. Anyway, so... Actually, the points actually match up with the Illuminate album.
We gave it higher than 4.5.
Did
I
we?
Gave it.
Are you sure?
I am.
What did you give it?
I gave it a 7.
Did you give it a 7? Okay, then therefore I gave it a 6. Which give okay, okay,
6.5.
Drastically,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. So this does not hold up very well to the
Illuminate album.
Illuminate album.
I feel like if this would have, it would have been interesting if this was an album in and of itself.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I would have. Okay. There. Again, see, a lot of it for me is as an aspiring producer, because I want to do that. That's my thing. I love production of music. I believe in production. That's just it. That's the thing. That's the only reason why I can't rate this much higher is because the production is off to me. Now, if the Crowder Band liked it that way, cool. That's them. But this is my mental breakdown of how production should be. Should not be changed like anything, politics or religion.
All right. Well, this is been an interesting production of Brothers King.
Very fun.
So, once again, my name is Samuel.
I'm Solly.
And I'm Thomas.
Rock on, guys.
Ciao.